Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Sermon's about the gospel reading for tonight, right at the end of Mark chapter 4. It's the story of Jesus sleeping in the boat and then his disciples waking him up and Jesus calming the storm. And I'd like to read through it and then talk about it and then mention one big thing at the end about this text. On that day, so it's the day that Mark 4 is already talking about, when evening had come, Jesus said to his disciples, let us go across to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. They're on one side of it, and he wants to get in the boat and go to the other side. We don't know why. He doesn't say so here, but sometimes he'll say things like, I have to preach in other towns and things like that. He doesn't say it here, but we can just guess at why they're leaving. And leaving the crowd, he's been teaching a large crowd, leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. At the beginning of Mark 4, he's teaching, he's on the beach, everybody's coming up real close to him, and to give himself a little bit of space so that he can teach better, he can talk to more people, he climbs into one of his friend's boats a little bit out in the water, and he's teaching from there. He just stays in the boat, and his friends get in the boat, and they take off across the lake there. And a great windstorm arose. That's the word in Greek for great windstorm is actually a word that can be translated hurricane. It's not a hurricane, but there are violent storms on the Sea of Galilee even today. There are certain times of the day when it's not safe to go out. Usually, evening is safe, and apparently one of the storms kicks up here in the evening, and it's big enough that the waves are breaking into the boat, and so that the boat was already filling with water. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? So does that story remind you of any other story in the Bible? Think about it real quick. A story in the Bible about somebody who's in a boat in a massive storm, and they're sleeping, and people go and wake him up and say, Hey, you can't sleep through a storm like this. What are you doing? I hope that you're thinking about Jonah right now. If you're not, I'll tell you. It's like Jonah. Mark actually wants you to be hearing Jonah stuff here. He wants you to be thinking about Jonah. Jonah's an important character for Jesus. Jesus refers to him. Well, at one point, Jesus is asked by some Pharisees, give us a sign to prove that you are who you say you are. And Jesus says, I'm going to give you the sign of the prophet Jonah. Just like Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the earth. And I think that has more to do with like being out of sight for 3 days. And it has a lot to do with who Jonah was and what he was doing. I mean, so Jonah's a sinner, just like me and you. But what Jonah does when the guy comes and wakes him up and says, hey, don't you care that you're about to die? You're in a serious storm here. You need to wake up. And then you guys remember what Jonah does. Jonah says, you know what? This storm is happening because I'm rebelling against the Creator God. And you're going to have to take me and you're going to have to throw me overboard. And if you do that, all of you will live. Jonah sacrifices his life. We can say a lot of bad things about Jonah. But one of the things he does here is he sacrifices his life so this boat and all the sailors on this ship can survive. And a part of that sacrifice is that an entire city ends up surviving, the city of Nineveh. This is what Jesus is going to eventually do. He's going to allow himself to be sacrificed so that his disciples and a bunch of other people, including me and you, can survive. He's not going to do it right here because he has things to do beforehand. He's got to demonstrate to them who he is first so that his death and his resurrection actually make sense to them when it happens. But he's going to end up, like Jonah, sacrificing himself to save other people. Mark wants you to hear that. Disciples, this is it smells a little sarcastic. Don't you care that we're perishing? And Jesus wakes up in verse 39 and rebukes the wind and says to the sea, peace be still. Two times before in Mark, Jesus rebukes something. It's demons both times. Jesus rebukes demons. In Mark 1, chapter 25, Jesus rebukes some demons and then says, be quiet and come out of that guy. And he's basically doing the same thing here with the storm. Mark says he rebukes the wind and then says, be quiet and be done. Peace be still. What are the disciples supposed to gather from that little bit of information? So the question that they ask at the end of our story tonight is, like, who is this guy? Who is this guy that even the weather obeys him? Who is this guy that demons obey him? That's the question at the end of Mark chapter 1. Who is this guy that he tells demons what to do and they just do it? Who is this guy who controls nature's production of food, who creates wine out of water, who takes little handfuls of bread and fish and creates meals for thousands of people? Who's this guy who, in Mark chapter 5, who's this guy who tells dead people, get up, and they get up? Who is this guy? Well, this guy is the boss of the universe. This guy is the boss of the demons. This guy is the boss of the weather. This guy is the boss of life and death. That's who it is. And so, continuing on here, peace be still, and the wind ceases, and there was a great calm. And Jesus says to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Faith in what? What is he asking them? Faith in what? Faith in him? Like faith in Jesus? Faith that Jesus is going to do what? Wake up and say to the storm, storm, turn off. I mean, that would be a long shot, right? I mean, however much you loved and believed in Jesus, you can't be sitting in that boat thinking, wake him up, he's going to control the weather. I mean, maybe you will later on, but it's only Mark chapter 4. They're still trying to figure out who they are in relationship to him, let alone who, they have no clue who he is at this point. Faith in what? It's a couple things, one's surface and one's deeper. The surface one is the last thing that Jesus says to the crowds before he gets in the boat is he says, my kingdom is like a mustard seed that you plant it and it grows and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until it covers the whole earth. Faith in that. Jesus promises that his kingdom is going to cover the whole earth. And now, do you think it's possible that minutes after saying that, he's going to be killed? No. The promise that he's going to control the whole world, he is going to keep that promise. He's not going to die in the boat. This ship is not going to go down with me aboard, Jesus is saying. And that's the deeper level too, right? Do you believe that Jesus is the Messiah? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? If you believe that Jesus is the Messiah or is the Son of God, then it's unthinkable for you that the boat's going to sink and Jesus is going to die, drowned to death there in the Sea of Galilee, and God's going to say, oh, my plan failed. I sent my only son, but he didn't make it out of that storm alive. If you're the disciples, you've got to know that when you're with Jesus, you're bulletproof. That nothing, at this point, nothing bad can happen to you. Now, like I said, it's not always going to be that way. And this is why Mark tells us about the Jonah stuff, because it's a hint, it's a foreshadowing that at some point, the guy's going overboard. At some point, the guy is going to die. But, like Jonah, it's not going to be a failure. Somehow, miraculously, in the belly of the whale, in the heart of the earth, he's going to come out of it and rescue everybody. So don't be afraid. But of course, now they're even more afraid. This is what the next verse says. And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? So they move from one fear, the fear of their circumstances, right? The fear that I'm going to die today. I'm going to drown out here in the middle of this lake. The fear that, like, if I tell my kid what I really think, they're not going to talk to me. The fear that I just gutted my savings account because I had to do it, and if one more big thing comes up this month, I don't know how we're going to make it. The fear that they said I've got months to live, and I'm going to fight this thing, but I'm not sure. That sort of fear, the fear of circumstances, they've moved from that fear to the fear of the one who can snap his fingers and say, your sickness is gone. Your underemployment is gone. Your family is healed. You are completely healthy. That's a scary thing. That person is in the room right now, looking straight into your heart. And he knows every little tiny thing that you're afraid of. And with one snap of his fingers, he could wake up and get off of that mattress and say, peace be still, and it's all done. That's who we should be scared of. The kind of person who has that sort of power. Now, that's not where you and I are at most of the time. Most of the time, when things are going wrong, when you're trapped in whatever circumstance that you're trapped in, you and I are like the disciples. We feel like there's nothing there. Like, you're sick, you're dying, you're lonely, you're underemployed, you're badly in need of money, whatever it is, and there's just silence. And you want to look up at the sky and say, like, are you there? This is why, you guys realize this, right? This is the main reason why people don't like Christianity. It's not primarily because it has a God who tells you what to do. None of us like God telling us what to do. But we can all kind of get that, even if you're not a believer. You can understand that if you're a believer in a faith that has a God and the God tells you what to do, that even if you don't like it, you should try to obey that God. We don't like that, but it's not super troubling to us. What's troubling to us is that God doesn't listen when we have problems. A long time ago, my dad read me something that Ted Turner said. You know, Ted Turner, he owned WTBS and the Atlanta Braves and different stuff like that. And he said one time, I was a Christian. When I was a kid, I was a faithful Christian. And I can't remember, I think it was like his sister got real sick. And he said, I prayed and I asked God to heal my sister. And my sister died, and I said, that's it. I'm not believing in a God that would let my little sister die. That's why people don't like Christianity. Because you're in the middle of the storm, and there's nothing. You're asking for help, and there's nothing. Don't you care that we're dying down here? What are you going to do? I'm sick. I'm in trouble. But here's the deal. The word of God for you tonight is that you're going to be good. You're going to be okay. Because the boss of the demons, the boss of all the money in the world, the boss of your health, the boss who can forgive your sins because he died on the cross, the boss who, because he rose from the dead, will make you live forever, the boss of the universe, he might not be saying a whole lot. He might not be putting on a bunch of fireworks, a bunch of crazy displays. But look, he's right there in the boat with you. Amen.